We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Craig Cody. Craig is a certified public accountant, certified tax coach, business owner, and former New York City police officer with 17 years experience on the force. In addition to being a certified public accountant for the past 17 years, he is also a certified tax coach. As a certified tax coach, Craig belongs to a select group of tax practitioners throughout the country who undergo extensive training and continued education on various tax planning techniques and strategies to become, as well as remain, certified. With this organization, Craig has co-authored an Amazon bestseller book, Secrets of a Tax-Free Life, and recently authored 10 Biggest Tax Mistakes That Cost Business Owners Thousands. Craig, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. Very psyched to be here.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to have some great information to offer, especially around the world of the tax discussion.
Most definitely.
So what is proactive tax planning and how can it minimize your taxes?
So proactive tax planning is really looking forward, whereas most accountants are really good at putting the right numbers in the right boxes. But what they're doing is they're kind of looking in a rearview mirror, whereas when you're proactive, you're seeing what your client is doing and how maybe you could do it a little bit differently to take advantage of the laws.
To ultimately, minimize your taxes. Interesting.
Keep more of what you make.
Well, that's what we want to do, right?
That's right.
So, as a small business owner, I'm definitely interested in this question. What are the biggest mistakes that you see small business owners making regarding their taxes?
The biggest is failing to plan. People think that, come March or April, they can go see their accountant and they're going to work miracles for them. It does not happen. So people, they spend time, they're going out to buy a car, they research it. What are they doing? What are they communicating to their accountant or CPA to figure out how they can do things more tax efficiently and keep more of what they make?
That makes sense as far as, planning, because that's, as a business, you have to have a business plan and everything else you're doing is marketing, your planning, and HR and everything, there's a plan, right? So why not on the financial side?
right. I mean, we spend all this money trying to go out there and get new clients. What if we could just reduce our tax liability and not have to spend that money?
Absolutely makes sense. So, how often should a business owner communicate with his or her CPA, and why is that so important then?
I like to say on a regular basis, and depending on the size of your business, once you get into a groove with your CPA or accountant, which in the beginning is probably going to be at least monthly, but once you get moving, at least quarterly. And we speak with most of our clients on a monthly basis because, you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't communicate with them and make them feel that they could communicate with you, you're not going to really give them what they need.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you need to really understand kind of the current state in order to make true valid recommendations, right?
Exactly. You have to see what's going on. The doctor doesn't call you up and say, how are you feeling today? Mm-hmm. You need to communicate with them.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Absolutely. So how can business owners use their CPA to their advantage?
Well, if they communicate with them and they tell them what's going on and they have the right CPA who is willing to communicate with them, this person should have a whole lot of knowledge that he can share with you. You make your money doing your business. You're not a tax accountant. You're not a bookkeeper. So go to the person that has the experience there and use his knowledge.
So you said something interesting. You said the right CPA. And I'm curious, how does one know they have the right CPA?
One way is to ask yourself, when was the last time my CPA came to me with an idea to save taxes?
You know, that's good.
That's a simple one. That'll break, you know, the proactive ones away from the non-proactive ones.
Yeah. That's really good. Really makes sense and makes you kind of question, you know, who is this guy again that I'm paying to do stuff for me?
Right, right. There's got to be some real value there.
Absolutely. So on the topic of value, let's move into the direction of networking here. Some people, the word networking is a very scary word, and it evokes fear and hesitation and uncertainty. I want to remove some of that fear, ultimately. If you could offer some value to our listeners and share with us your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had.
Oh, yeah. You know, years ago when I was in Manhattan and I was building my business and I was working part-time for another company as their CFO, I used to try and, you know, meet people for lunch, and they could just be, you know, people that I knew in different types of businesses. You know, maybe they worked for other people, but, you know, everybody knows a lot of people. And I had lunch with a friend, and about a week later, he's like, listen, I'm having lunch with so-and-so. Why don't you come down and meet me? And this person was also another CPA. And I went down there. We had lunch together. We talked. And this person turned out to be a very big referral source for us in the future. So, you know, he was somebody that did kind of what I did, but he was very focused on what his client was, and he turned out to be a great referral source. And, you know, I talked to other accountants, and they're like, oh, I don't want to network with other accountants. And I'm like, that's, you know, there's plenty of money out there for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. So what I like about this is that you're kind of going through your normal, shall I say, nurturing routine, and, you know, staying in front of your contacts, and you had lunch with one person, and he kind of said, I want to, you know, reciprocate and introduce you to someone else now. And that turned out to be a very powerful connection that was made.
Yes, yes. Very powerful. Very powerful.
Nice. So let's talk about that nurturing thing a little bit. What do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
I think you have to be somebody that can be approachable, reachable. You know, people have questions, that, you know, they're not research questions, they're just questions. So you want to be available, and you want to kind of provide some kind of value to people within your network. So, like I said, you don't have to spend a lot of time researching things, but just open to, yeah, okay, this is, maybe you want to handle it this way, or maybe you need to speak with this person. So I think that's a good way to stay in touch with your community.
So providing value to your network is a way that you nurture your community. And obviously you've written some books, so obviously there's a lot of value in that information. So very nice. Okay. What advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Get out from behind your desk and meet people and, you know, provide some value to those people. Whether it's, you know, being a connector, you know, I can't tell you how many people will call me and say, you know what, I think you should talk to this person. You know, there's nothing in it for them. But, you know, by being a connector, you kind of create that almost like a indebtedness.
Yes, because you're adding value in that you've made, you know, contact A is now meeting contact Z, right?
Right.
And then
people want to give that back.
Absolutely. So it's kind of that reciprocity, you know, do unto others and whatnot. So, but you said something to open it up was, you know, get out from behind your desk. So are there places that you're attending, or where are you going when you get out from behind your desk to meet these new people?
You know, in the beginning, I would just have lunch with people, you know, people that I knew, you know, lunch, coffee, just get yourself out there. I've never met anyone that's actually focused on doing this and it has not worked for them. Just get out there and meet people. You become top of mind, and, you know, everybody has a lot of connections, and, you know, something always comes up, and, you know, it comes back around. So get out there.
Absolutely. That consistency component is important too, so that you do stay top of mind.
Right. You have to, I always say, you have to be in it to win it.
Yeah, It's a lot of truth in that for sure. And you kind of said that earlier, is that, you know, when people are really focused, and the individuals that you know that are focused and putting their power and energy into building those that network, it's happening, right? So you have to be in it to win it. I like that.
And you have to give it time.
Lots of truth around that. It doesn't happen overnight. Even though the example you shared was, you know, you went to lunch with someone and a week later you met this powerful networker.
Right. And you know, sometimes we get lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to be putting yourself out there in order for that luck, you know, to kind of present itself.
Yes. And people will say it's really not luck. It's because you were doing something consistent that it happened. And if you didn't do that, it would not have happened.
Very true. Yeah, there's a lot of argument around what luck really is, isn't there?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Personally, because I haven't really gotten the digital networking down, I find traditional networking works better for me. You know, I'm out there on Twitter and, you know, everything else, but I guess I don't have the comfort level. So I like, you know, pressing the flesh, as you could say. You know, get out there, talk to people, see what you can do for them, see who you could help. And, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, what comes around goes around. If you help people, eventually somebody's going to help you.
Yeah, but don't you think you can kind of replicate that in the digital space?
You could definitely replicate it. I just haven't taken the time to figure out the right way to do it with confidence.
Sure. Okay. That's an interesting kind of side jot there, is that, you know, there's that confidence where I would think the traditional is almost more scarier than the digital space.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, what you're used to. You know, am I doing this right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, how many times can I ask my daughter, all right, how do I post this without getting the eyes rolled, et cetera?
Oh, well, there's a lot to be learned in that space,
yes.
It sounds like. But I mean, I think that it really does resonate and kind of mirror the traditional space, because you're building the connections, you're adding the value, you're kind of acknowledging and communicating and having a dialogue, but just in that digital space. So interesting insight, though. All right, so I'm going to change up the pace a little bit here. Let's go back to your 20-year-old self. What would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one because, you know, this is my second career. So let's just say I started this one when I was 20. I would say, you know, get out behind a desk sooner. You know.
Okay.
You know. You hope most of us that are in a profession are on top of their game. They have the knowledge, you know, as far as being a good tactician. But you need to become comfortable with getting out there and networking. And I wish I would have started that sooner.
Yeah, that I agree with that 100%. But in regards to your professional career as a whole, or just kind of, you know, even going back to your first career, would you have done something differently? Or do you think it not so much?
Well, I had a great run my first career, so I wouldn't have given that up for anything. And I met a lot of great people. And doing this, it would just been, you know, really starting to do more of the networking a lot sooner and get myself out from behind that desk.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
The person I'd love to connect with, for kind of not so obvious a reason, would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, I'm not too happy with his actions later in life, but who am I to say? But, you know, here's a guy that came here from another country with basically nothing and built a pretty good business for himself, and then went on to become, you know, governor of a state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as far as doing it in 6 degrees, that would be interesting. I think we could probably all find those connections if we spent enough time doing it.
Absolutely. Time. Yes. You know, we're circling back to that topic exactly. Right there. It would take time, but I do believe, like you said, that it can be done.
Yes. Yes.
So are you gonna start that journey?
Actually, you know, maybe I need to put that on my list. Maybe I need to put that on my list.
I mean, how great would that be? I'm sure he's got some fantastic stories to share too.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. It would be pretty cool. Yeah. And you know, I was just watching the movie that he's pumping iron movie over the weekend. So yeah, it would be cool.
Is that why he's fresh in your mind?
Yes, exactly.
Are you always...
exactly.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I just haven't heard his name in a while, so that's intriguing. No, he is an interesting character. Yes. For sure. There's definitely a lot to learn from him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of learning, we never want to stop learning, right? And that's why I'm a huge advocate of this next question, which is, what book are you reading right now?
I just started reading Traction. And I'm trying to think, who is it by? It's a business book.
Gene Wickman, I think it is.
That's what it is.
Yep, that's a great one.
Just opened that up this weekend, so I'm not that far into it.
Okay, well, you got a lot of good juicy stuff coming your way.
Yes, that's what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a really good one. And let's see, there's another one that he wrote, or it's kind of Get a Grip. Have you read that one?
No, I have not. Get a Grip.
If you like Traction, I really would recommend the Get a Grip, because it's kind of the fable version of the philosophy of Traction.
Okay.
So it kind of tells the story of like a company going through that process. Definitely a good one to check out as well.
You know, I think as a business owner, we have to constantly read, because there's so much to learn. You know, you just pick up a little nugget here and there and they all add up.
Yeah, it is kind of overwhelming just how much information is out there. But at the same time, it's quite intriguing to know that there's always some new piece of information to help you advance and take things to that next level.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting our network?
Well, yeah, like I said, I think you need to be out there and you need to provide value to people and see, you know, who you could help. And it shouldn't be all about me, me, me. It's what you can do for people, and that stuff will come back in spades.
Very powerful. Definitely be out there and provide the value. And I think what's really important is that what you just kind of closed is the... You know, it's not about me. It's about, you know, the person that you're having that communication and that relationship with. Really, really nice. All right, so if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Our website is www.craigcodyandcompany.com. And if they go to /social capital, they could request a free copy, paper copy of our book. My email is craig@ccodycpa.com, and our office number is 516-869-4051, and we could help you figure out how to keep more of what you make.
That's fantastic. I will include all of that information in our show notes, and thank you very much to sharing the free book to our listeners. I think that's fantastic. Hopefully everyone takes advantage of that. Well, Craig, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Craig Cody for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.